Today being the first Sunday in this new year, 2025, January the 5th, 2025, we're going to look at lesson number 4 today. And this is entitled, Perceptions in Living. Perceptions in Living. And we're looking today from the book of Proverbs. There's going to be several passages we're going to look at here in the book of Proverbs today. I want to thank you for being faithful in 2024. And I'm looking forward to serving the Lord in 2025. Amen. I'm looking forward to it so much. I'm looking forward to every new day I can have. Amen. Every new day. It's another opportunity to serve the Lord. Amen. Now, in our lesson today, it's entitled Perceptions for Living. I want to give you this Bible verse from Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And I want us to ask ourselves today, what is our perception of living today? What is our perception for living today? How do we see it? What do we live for? You know, the verse we looked at there in Galatians chapter 2, Paul talked about being alive in Christ. All right? And our lesson today, this word perception is defined simply as this. It's an observation, and it's a synonym with the word discretion. Discretion. If you look there in Proverbs chapter number 2, I want us to look at verses 10 through 17 just a moment. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 17. The Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Wow, that's what wisdom is all about. And you know, in this series of lessons, we're studying walking wisely in a foolish world. So I want you to understand today that this word perception, in essence, perception is the way we observe things, and then we discern how we should handle a matter based upon our observations. We use spiritual discernment. This is something that is lacking in a lot of lives today, okay? Spiritual discernment. They follow after every wind and sound of doctrine, but the way that we perceive things affects us in so many different ways, does it not? The way that we perceive things. And we need to look at things a little differently, okay? In the way that we look. Now, when we observe and understand the fact that cold weather is coming in, all right, we know cold weather's coming. How many of you noticed it was cold this morning? All right, 14 degrees this morning. All right, 17 degrees when I left the house this morning. It's going to get chilly, and that's in the daytime. All right, but cold weather's coming in, and so what do? We take precautionary measures. All right, yesterday I put Lisa and Sophia to work with me, helping me pull wood from the stack I've been splitting. All right, this summer. And we stacked it all up in the woodshed in the back. And I took my little wagon out from the shed, pulled it up there, and I said, now help me load it up, and I'll pull it up to the garage, and we'll put it inside, and we'll have it ready for everything. And we had the fire going last night. Man, everybody's sitting in there. We sat down last night and watched Kung Fu Panda sitting in front of the fireplace, all right, trying to keep things going. But we perceive, so we try to prepare ourselves for what's coming. All right, we try to prepare ourselves. And what I'm trying to make you see tonight, okay, or today, is that we need to be prepared for whatever may lay upon the horizon in our future. We need to be spiritually prepared. If we know that people are breaking in houses at night, okay, then we put up lights outside, okay? I fixed up lights outside all around our house now that are on motion sensors, okay? When I take the dog out at night, okay, when I walk her, every light that I go around the corner of the house, the lights pop on, okay? I got them set for 4 minutes, and it lets me know, you know, what's out there, what's not out there. Heard some stuff running through the woods the other night and kind of startled me a little bit. I think it may have been some of those deer. They come out when you can't see them. But the whole thing is this. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. And we need God's wisdom to be ready for this new year. So Solomon not only spoke correctly in verse number 10, but he also spoke wisely. When he said this, he wrote these words and he said, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding will keep thee." Now, I want you to understand, there are many sources today that pop up everywhere claiming to provide wisdom for things, okay? All sorts of wisdom out there. Today's world depends upon Google or Wikipedia. They're looking at all kinds of things today, and they're looking in the wrong sources. But there is a big difference between worldly wisdom and godly wisdom. And we need godly wisdom to survive this year. We need godly discretion in all that we're doing. And if we're truly seeking godly wisdom, then we're going to have to get into the Word of God. And as Pastor always says, get into the Word of God and allow the Word of God to get in us. And that's what we need to do. So biblical wisdom, I want you to understand, again, I've stated this before, but biblical wisdom is different than worldly wisdom. It's different than worldly wisdom. And the book of Proverbs shows us these differences and distinctions that there, we call it contrast, okay? A contrast. Two opposites, okay? We see things that are opposite. So, for instance, look back in Proverbs chapter 1 here just a moment. Proverbs chapter 1. We looked at this the other week, back in 2024. I know that was a year ago, okay? You may not remember it. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7, look what the Bible said. The Bible said here, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." But then it gives the contrast. But look what he said. He says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Boy, we're seeing that in our world today. We are seeing that today. And our natural tendencies in this old world are not to be very wise in the things of God. We just want to do whatever we want to do. The Bible talked about in the book of Judges, when there was no king in Israel, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And boy, for the past several years, we've seen that with leadership. And every person just wants to do that which is right in their own eyes. They forgot that God has a plan. They've forgotten that God is the source of true spiritual discernment and wisdom. And we need to get back into the Word of God. We need a source for our wisdom. We need a source for our understanding. And that is the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E. What does that mean? Basic instructions before leaving earth. Okay? These are the basic instructions we have that God has given unto us to hide in our heart that we might not sin against God. So Solomon gave the reason here for writing what he wrote in the book of Proverbs here in chapter number 1. And this is what he wrote. Look at verse number 1, beginning in verse number 1. He said, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now listen to this next verse. A wise man will hear and will receive learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And here's the purpose: to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So we see here in this book, as we begin this book and we begin a new year, we see here how the person who acknowledges God for their source, as their primary source of all wisdom and understanding, is indeed seen to be wise in the eyes of God. And if you'll remember reading through the Old Testament scriptures and the passages, those charmers, those sorcerers, those magicians in the days of old, when the king couldn't figure out what's going on and when men didn't know what to do, what did they do? They sought out the man of God. And the man of God gave wisdom from the word of God. Now I want you to look at this morning with me. Perceptions for living. I want you to look at number one here, the perception of wisdom. The perception of wisdom. Now I've tried to put these verses in your bulletin. I think I've put those verses in there for you. You can mark them down if you lose some of them or lose track. Just go back to the bulletin. I'm trying to put some of these in here for you. But that word perception, I looked it up in the dictionary. And that word perception simply means an observation synonymous with discretion. And Solomon was known locally, and he was perceived by nations abroad. I mean, by everyone he came in contact with, as being a wise man. As being a wise man. He was known for his marvelous gift of wisdom that came from God. The people knew that it was not of him in himself. And he made known that that wisdom came from God. But you know, today folks are looking for wise people. But they're looking for wisdom in the wrong places. They're looking for it in the wrong places. So the real question here we need to look at again, where did Solomon get all of his wisdom? We know it was from God. But do we really know how it came to be from God? I want you to look at this with me this morning. I want you to turn. I'm going to show you some passages of Scripture. It's not all of it, but in the time I've got this morning, I want to share this with you. In the book of 1 Kings and in the book of 2 Chronicles, we read about how Solomon got his wisdom and how God gave it to him. And I want us to look this morning at 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. Here we read about God's desire, as well as the desire of King David, Solomon's father. Now, I want you to look at it with me here this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter number 22. We're going to begin in verse number 6. I'm going to read this to you. Then he, speaking about David, then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thou hast shed blood abundantly and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build an house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon. Now this is what God told David. And I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel for how long? Forever. Now look at the next verses. David said, now my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God, then thou shalt prosper. Now let me stop right here just a minute. I want to say this today because I've been dealing with folks that's got issues about this new gospel, okay, this word of faith gospel, this prosperity gospel stuff that's being preached today. And everybody's saying, oh, if you're in God's will and you're going to be rich and you're going to be healthy and you're not going to have health issues and, you know, you're going to be rich and prosperous and all this other stuff. This is not what God was speaking of here. They use these verses in many incorrect ways, non-biblical ways. And David is telling his son, if you want the blessings of God in your life, listen, you need his wisdom. And God will take care of your needs. He will prosper your way. He will help you to have that discernment and wisdom if you seek after it. He said, then thou shalt prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. What did he say? Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. Now, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 1,000 talents of gold and 1,000 talents of silver and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Now, I want you to pay special attention here to verses 11 through 13, where David prayed for his son Solomon to seek God's wisdom and to seek his understanding concerning Israel. Listen, if we want to do something great for America today, we need to pray. And we need to ask God to give us wisdom to tell folks about the Savior. Listen, folks, when the heart is changed, everything else will change. The hearts of men right now are living in sin. They're wicked. They need to know a Savior. They need to know that God loved them and gave Himself for them. But they'll never know that unless somebody teaches them and tells them. And David prayed for his son Solomon to seek after God's wisdom and to seek after God's understanding concerning their nation, and that he might not just know the Word of God or know about it, but that he might keep the Word of God in all that he did. That's why I chose the verses, God forbid that I cease to pray for you. Listen, we need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying that God will help us to have the right kind of wisdom. And here in these verses, David made it clear to his son that this would only happen in his life and in Israel if he would choose to take heed according to the Word of God. Listen, a lot of folks know what the Word of God says, but they refuse to do what the Word of God says do. And James said we need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Okay? All right? When we tell our children, okay, to do something, we instruct them. We're not wanting them to just hear the words. We're wanting them to fulfill the instruction. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, with that in mind, that lays the background. I want you now to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. David is instructing his son. He's told him, you need to get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you. You need to seek God's wisdom. So here in 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, I want to begin down in verse number 7. After King David had died, all right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, the Bible says, beginning in verse number 7, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. This was a test. For the next 60 seconds, you're going to... This was a test. God was giving Solomon a test. Folks, listen, things happen in our lives, and I believe with all my heart, sometimes God gives us testings. Absolutely. To see if we have not only heard, but we have received the instruction, and now we're willing to put that instruction into action in our lives. So he gives us times of testing. And in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give unto thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established. For thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? So Solomon, when God asks him to ask whatever he would, what does he ask for? He asks for wisdom. He seeks godly source of wisdom. Now, I want you to turn now to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. And beginning in verse number 3 here, the Bible said this. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. Now let me stop right there just a moment. Solomon had learned to love God, and that is why he sought the Lord's wisdom. And folks, let me say this to you today. When we look at those churches in the book of Revelation, beginning in chapter number 2, and where Christ is standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, okay? The very first thing he makes an observance with in the churches there is that they left their first love. Don't leave your first love. Don't leave your first love. Let it be said of me above anything else, Brother Ray Shutt loved the Lord. And let me tell you why I love him today. I love him, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, because he first loved me. He gave himself for me that I might be his child. And the Bible said here, and Solomon love the Lord. And look what else he did. He didn't just put it in words, but the Bible said, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a child, a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, and who is able to, and for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people. You see what Solomon was saying to God? He said, God, you've done great things for my father David. I've tried to walk in his ways. I'm living for you. I'm trying to do what's right, but God, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And folks, there are going to come times in this new year you're going to have to look at God and say, Father, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. I want to love you. I want to serve you. But God, I need your wisdom. Solomon wasn't the oldest son in his family. He may not have been considered to be the smartest or the most intellectual one. Okay? We don't know. But Solomon was God's choice for God's king over Israel. And when God chose Solomon, Solomon chose to seek out wisdom. And it was because he loved the Lord his God. And because he was willing to seek his power and his strength and his wisdom to do the job that God had called him to do. Listen, you may be asking yourself today, how can I help raise my children or raise my grandchildren or teach them? How can I be the instrument that God wants me to be before a lost and dying world today? Ask for God's wisdom. Ask for an understanding heart. Go back and remember how it was before you got saved and what made a difference in your life. When I was bus captain on our bus route, somebody asked me, he said, who trained you to be a bus captain? And I said, well, I didn't know what to do. And I claimed James 1:5 and I asked for wisdom. Amen. And God reminded me what it was like when I was a bus kid and how those folks were faithful and they loved me and they got me in the Word of God and they taught me the things of God. And that's what I did with the kids and the families on our bus route. And God blessed it. And when I left there, almost 14 years ago now, 13 and a half, almost 14 years ago, we had four bus routes. God had given me a bus route, and we had split that bus route three other times. We had four bus routes there then. And you know what? God continued to bless because folks went and did what they were supposed to do for God. Listen, folks, our nation is in a mess today because Christians have not done what we're supposed to be doing for God. Amen. There are a lot of people today, they're going to college, they're getting a head full of wisdom, but they've not got a heart full of love for folks around them. They're not seeing the need. This past week, we had folks that called us. Now, you got to remember, the church office has been open a couple days, closed a couple days. I came in on the days that were closed because it was nice, it was quiet, I could study, there was nobody here. I had my wife drop me off so nobody even knew I was here. I didn't even have the car parked out there. She did that with me yesterday, all right? Again, she drops me off early, she goes does her grocery shopping and all this stuff because I don't like to go, and just left me here. Nobody even knew I was here, and I love it. I love it. But we had folks calling. I had three food calls this week. And they had gone to churches around locally. And some of these folks were just in dire straits. And they didn't have any money for groceries. They didn't have anything. And one of the ladies that talked to me, she told me, she said, I went to several churches. And they said, well, they were closed this week. They couldn't be a help this week. And she said, I can't believe that you folks are going to be willing to help me this week. Aren't you closed? I said, we're never closed. This is Church of the Open Door, okay? All right. It may be locked at times, but it's open, all right? And so my wife and I and Sophia, she went with us. She helped me carry stuff out. And we went and made deliveries this week on these things. And what? There are folks out here that are hungering. Hungering. Not just for physical food, but they're hungering for somebody to love them and care for them. Two of them were in Taneytown. And I sent Brother Fred Lieb and his wife, Miss Linda, out to visit them and see if they could pick up the kids for Sunday school. And there are people that need to know. And folks, what's happening in our nation today is our fault. Because we've not done what we're supposed to be doing in this land. We're not caring for folks the way we ought to. Oh, yeah, we're giving everybody that comes in everything that we don't have. Okay? And making them feel good about it. That's not what they need. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need the Lord. And so here, God is going to bless Solomon because he sought after the right thing. And then the Bible tells us here, beginning in verse number 10 of 1 Kings chapter 3, he said, and the speech pleased the Lord. that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given to thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And look at this. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then will I lengthen thy days. But God saw the heart of King Solomon. He saw the sincerity for what Solomon sought for. And folks, God is looking at our sincerity today. Pastor always says this. He tells us, he says, if you'll tell folks how to get to heaven, God will tell folks how to get to our church. Amen. And we have seen that. God has supplied our every need. He has taken care of us, this church's needs. Why? I truly believe it's because we've tried to keep the main thing, in service unto the Lord. And that is reaching our community with the message of the gospel. Do you realize today there are Christians that have never led anybody to Christ in their whole Christian life? There are people right now that say, oh, yes, I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I've believed on Him with all my heart. I've been born again. And if you were to look at them and say, well, could you tell your family how to go to heaven? They have no idea. No idea what to do. No idea where to turn in the Word of God. When I got saved in March, and I had the opportunity to lead my first person to Christ on July the 31st of 1975. Now, I got saved March 28th. And you know what? I didn't have a soul-winning class that I took. I went to Sunday school. I listened to my preacher preach. And I thought, Lord, what do I tell them? I can't go out with these teenagers and tell folks about Jesus. I don't know what to tell them. And it was like the Spirit of God just said, well, why don't you just tell them what you did to be saved? And so I took those verses and I marked them in my Bible, in my little New Testament. And that's exactly what I did. I never will forget leading that young man to Christ under a big old oak tree on Cap Street. I think it was 8:04 p.m. on July the 31st, 1975. I wrote it in my New Testament. I got that New Testament laying on my desk. I keep it there. You know what I did? I told him what Jesus did for me. And folks, listen, we need to remember what Christ has done for us. If we want the perception, the right perception for living today, for us to live as Christ and to die, man, that's gain. But our perception needs to be seeking wisdom from God, seeking His understanding. Have a heart like what God's got for us. Do you remember John 3:16? What does the Bible say? It's a simple verse, but it says something so grand. And it simply says this, for God so loved the world. What did Jesus tell His disciples before He went to the cross? He said, a new commandment I give unto thee. John chapter 13, verses 33 through 35, I think it was. That ye love one another. Folks need to see Christ in us before they will see a need for Christ in them. And Solomon sought that. And just to prove that God would do what He said He would do, God gave him another test. And I want to close with this. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28. Immediately after God gave wisdom unto Solomon, He gave him a test to see if he would use that wisdom or not. The Bible said, beginning in verse number 16, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 16 through 28, there came two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, "Oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear." And a mother knows her children.
Absolutely.
A mother knows her child. And the other woman said, "Nay, but this living is my son, and the dead is thy son." And this woman said, "No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son." Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, "The one saith, 'This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead.' And the other saith, 'Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living.' And the king said, 'Bring me a sword.'" Boy, that's a strong extreme, isn't it? "Bring me a sword." And they brought a sword before the king, and he said, "Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other." He's just going to split that baby in half. That's where we get that term. Okay, when somebody brings me a problem, I say, "No, I'm going to take that to Pastor Belcher and let him split the baby." Okay? Give him the wisdom. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it." But the other said, "Let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it." Then the king answered and said, "Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof." And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. Look at this. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Folks, in this new year, our new perception for living ought to be to bear the wisdom of God in all that we do. Let that be our main theme today. We'll finish out this lesson next week. We'll look at it next week. We'll start right here. Perception for living. Where do we start? We start in the Word of God. Father, Lord, I want to thank you today for this lesson. And Lord, I want to thank you for the wisdom that comes from above. Lord, I don't have wisdom in myself. God, there is no way I can do for you what you ever want me to do. And Lord, I want to make certain that, God, I don't try to do things in my power. I want to do it in your power. And Father, I pray, Lord, today that you'll help us to have the right perception for living in this new year. And Lord, that our desire would be to seek your will for our lives and all that we do. Seek your power. And then, Lord, to do what we know that we ought to be doing. I pray, Lord, today that you'll help us to determine to be the church that is alive, and that folks will see God in us in this new year. Father, now bless our pastor, would you, as he stands to preach, and we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being here in 2025.